during this Advent season. Our theme this year is Our Coming Savior. And each week, I want to introduce you to some of the people involved in the story. I hate to use the word characters in the story because that makes it sound like it's a fictitious story. But the people involved in the story of the birth of Christ. And each week we'll see a little video clip of those folks and we'll get to know them a little bit better and study a little bit more about what role they played. This morning I want us to meet Zacharias and Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth were an older couple. He came from a heritage or a lineage of the priesthood, and so did she, which was actually kind of rare that folks from that two people from a heritage of the priesthood would come together and be married, but that was their case. Well, Zacharias had the privilege, the joy of kind of being the one who. I guess it was his turn. It wasn't quite like a lottery, but there were so many of these priests that only certain ones could serve certain weeks. And his week came up, and he got to serve in the temple. And while he was there, the messenger of God said, y'all are going to have a baby. And Zacharias says, man, we old. I don't think it's going to work quite that way. How is that going to happen? And because of his doubt, and because his words demonstrated his doubt, God said, okay, you're in time out. And he closed his mouth. He couldn't speak anymore. And so Zacharias goes home to try to explain now to Elizabeth what's going to happen and why he can't talk. I think maybe it looks something like this.
What do you mean you can't speak? You put that down and talk to me, Zachariah. You went to the temple to burn incense, and now you can't speak. Oh, because you doubted. What does that even mean? You doubted what an angel told you. Oh, now it's all making sense. Are you feeling all right, huh? Maybe you should sit down. Oh, I should sit down. Listen, whatever game you're playing, I really wanted to stop, Zachariah. It isn't funny. This isn't funny, Zachariah. An angel told you this. The angel said that our prayers have been heard. That you, my love, will bear a son. That we will be filled with joy and gladness, and that many will rejoice at his birth. He will be like Elijah. He will prepare our people for the Lord. Too old to be a mother. And you can't even speak. Oh, you can't even speak until he's born. Oh, that might not be the worst thing. I can't wait to tell my cousin Mary. We will call him Zachariah, yes?
Zacharias, Elizabeth, chosen by God to be the ones who would parent John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes at just the right moment to say, hey everybody, everything that we heard from the prophets is coming true now. He takes on the role of Elijah in a way and speaks the many things that Elijah spoke, and in many ways he's like him, calling people to repentance and preparation for the coming of Messiah. When John is born, there are some remarkable things that take place. I want to show you that story very quickly. Look with me in the first chapter of the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 1, toward the end of the chapter, actually looks like it's in the middle of the chapter. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. I want to very quickly show you how this story unfolds. Zacharias is indeed mute until the birth of his son, John the Baptist, and this is that part of the story. In verse 57, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it came about that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and that's what they did. After a baby boy was born, they waited till the eighth day, brought him in, the priest circumcised the child and gave him his name. That was the ceremony at which the child would be named. So we continue there that they brought him on the eighth day. They came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. Why? Because that was the traditional thing to do. And people have always been given to tradition. That was what they did. That was their culture. That's the way it worked. So everybody assumed that's the way it would be done. In verse 60, his mother answered and said, no, indeed, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by that name. Why would you name him a name that doesn't fit your family? They couldn't understand. It was so foreign to them. Verse 62, they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. There's two things about that verse that are funny to me. One is, Mary already said what the baby's name was going to be. And they said, Mary, you don't understand. You don't get it. Let's go to the husband and find out. You know, Mary, you're a woman, and so we've heard you, but let's go to the man and find out what's really going to happen here. Again, it was their culture. It seems so foreign to us. And yet that was the way things worked in that day. And so they kind of wanted to overrule Mary. Poor little, sweet, emotional thing. Let's overrule her. What am I saying? Mary instead of Elizabeth? Everybody's looking at me like, no, be careful. All right, so Elizabeth. So they're worried about poor Elizabeth. She's so confused, so emotional. Let's go to Zacharias and find out what we need to know, the real name of this baby. And not only is that funny to me, but did you notice how they communicated with Zacharias? It says, and they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. Why? He can't speak. That doesn't mean he's deaf. Isn't it funny how we react to folks? Because he can't speak, they assume that he can't hear. There's an awkward thing that happens when we interact with one another. And when it's not the normal kind of conversation, for example, we think that when we speak to someone who doesn't speak English, maybe Spanish is their first language, and maybe Japanese is that. We think that if we speak slowly and loudly, they can finally get it. We do the same kind of silly stuff all the time. And it's interesting, you know, he can't speak, but he can hear. He's writing things, and so they come up and they make signs. I'm not sure what that is, how they did that. What do you want to call the baby boy? I don't know. But they try to communicate with him. What is this child's name? And notice verse 63. He asked for a tablet and wrote as follows. His name is John. They were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened, his tongue loosed, and he began to speak in praise of God. And fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, what then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. They could tell, everybody around could tell something was special about this kid. And so they started asking, what's he going to turn out to be? There's something special here. Something amazing is happening. Let's pay attention to this new kid named John and let's see what happens. You know, I think the reason that Luke made such a big deal out of the name thing, you know, in the skit, Elizabeth assumes that the kid will be named Zacharias. And then all the neighbors assume he'll be named Zacharias. It doesn't really matter. That part doesn't matter to us. Why did Luke include that? I think he included it because names are important. Names mean something. Not so much in our day. For us, names are really just kind of labels so we can keep our kids straight. You know, we can figure out who's who, right? For them, the name meant something. And so I want to show you this morning their names. I want us to look first of all at Zacharias. His name meant God remembers. What an amazing name for the man who would be the father of the second Elijah. The father of the one who would cry in the wilderness, Messiah is coming. God remembers. God has not forgotten his people, nor has he forgotten his promises. God remembers, and Messiah is coming. Isaiah chapter 40 says, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the desert a highway for our God. That is a prophecy pointing to John the Baptist, who will prepare the way for the Lord. John came first, and he got people ready for Jesus to come. In Malachi, it says, behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way for me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. I'll send a messenger to prepare the way. Zacharias' name is God remembers. God did remember his people and his promises that he would send forth the Messiah, and before him would come the one to prepare the way. Elizabeth's name means God is my oath. God is my oath. Not only did God keep his word in the promise of Messiah, but through the angel, he sends word, you're going to have a son. And then indeed she has the son. God is my oath. When in Elizabeth, we're reminded that he keeps his word. He is trustworthy in all things. That assured the people. The fact that he keeps his word assured the people as they longed for Messiah. It assured them of that hope. He would keep his word and Messiah would come. Elizabeth meant God is my oath. The name John, that was so important, God made sure the messenger told Elizabeth and Zacharias what they were to call the boy. Make sure you call him John. Why? Because his name sends the message. God has been gracious. His very name sends the message, the whole point of the story, God's grace in his Messiah. His people would be saved by his grace. Again in Malachi, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Now, Elijah has already come when Malachi was writing that. So what he's saying, there's going to be another kind of Elijah. Elijah the prophet will come before the great and awesome day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. In other words, instead of giving the people what they deserve, John the Baptist will come to announce the fact that Messiah is coming to bring peace. That is grace. God has been gracious. And so John the Baptist grows and he begins to speak to the people in his area, and his message is always the same. Repent and get ready, for Messiah is coming. He will be our Savior. So it's no wonder that in John 3 at verse 30, John the Baptist sees Jesus in the water baptizing people. And he says of Jesus, he says, he must increase, I must decrease. The time has come for the messenger now to step back. The way has been prepared, and now it's time for Jesus to come on the scene as Messiah. And sure enough, as Jesus walks up in John chapter 1, it is John the Baptist who says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. As we come to the table this morning, I want us to remember the three names of this family. This family who kind of introduces Advent, who prepares us for the coming of Messiah. This family represents so well the point of the table. Zach's name, God remembers his promises. Liz's name, God keeps his word. And John, God is gracious. We come to the table, we recognize that God remembers his promises. He said Messiah would come to save his people, and he did on Calvary. Elizabeth's name, God keeps his word. God said it would happen, and it did. John's name, God is gracious. When Jesus came to die on Calvary, it was by God's grace that he paid the penalty for our sin. That is the point of the cross, isn't it? That you and I have been found guilty, yet he carries out our punishment on himself. That is grace. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve and not receiving what you do deserve. That is grace. This morning, as we prepare for the table, we can be grateful that God started the story. by reminding us that He remembers us, that He keeps His word, that He is gracious.